We're doing a Facebook Live right now with Regan. My mother named me Sunshine, and we have, you can go to her webpage as well. Thank you, Regan, for coming with me again here on Blue Sky Horse Radio.
Not a problem. I've always enjoyed coming on. Thanks for having me, Annie.
Sweet. So you mentioned that, do you want to give a quick introduction of yourself again to people who might be new to this program?
Not a problem. My name is Regan Sunshine Bruce. I'm a local poverty blogger and activist, anti-poverty activist in Kitchener-Waterloo region. And I work with some of the local groups and get out and get down on the ground floor to see what's going on with people.
Yeah, that's right. And you and I and, Juki. Mm-hmm. Juki, we met up in Victoria Park. That was maybe about a month ago now. And so we had you on then. And since then, we've kind of been staying in touch with you because since you have your feet on the ground and you're well connected that way with the anti-poverty movement, I wanted to be in touch with you as well. And thank you, Bob, as well, for connecting me to you. So you have some updates. I know you always are doing so much, and I try to follow you on Twitter and see what you're up to and what you're doing, but better get you on the phone, right? So here you are.
Fair enough. Yep. I've been keeping pretty busy. And I mean, in all fairness, very little that I do is actually by myself. I have the blessing of having come in contact and built some rapport and connectivity with the local Unsheltered campaign, who is often a great support to me as well as others out there who are experiencing homelessness at this moment in order to, you know, help us get the things that they might need to take care of themselves.
Yeah, I was reading about that you guys are looking for water, a safe water source.
Yes, and we still are lacking hugely. Though the area representatives have made an effort with collaboration of agencies, and there's been a little bit of an advancement in that through the working center being able to add an outdoor tap to assist with water provision when they're open house time, if you will, and entry times aren't there. I mean, I've actually now heard, only rumored, because I have not had the chance to locate and speak to these people myself, but I've heard rumor that we have people drinking out of our river because they have no other option. I can't accept this. I question how it is that we are at all accepting this still.
Yeah, I'm flabbergasted by that as well. And I mean, in the heat of the summer, when you should be drinking liters of water every day, drinking out of the river certainly is not a safe option.
I only hope that these people have access to at least iodine tablets or boiling equipment or something to assure that it's not a direct health risk to them. Because, I mean, the concept of being put in that position and having that be the only way that you can get by and survive is... Well, honestly, I find it appalling when I'm considering that this is the country we live in, Canada. This is not something that I am accepting as a citizen as being okay here. I mean, that goes without saying that there's the flip side of that. When we're accessing water, one of the other frequent accesses that we have is to use a washroom. And, I mean, we have a huge lacking in that. Many of our property owners and citizens and taxpayers and people who have a place to reside are also feeling the ripple effect of that, being that, I mean, when someone has to go, they have to go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, our property owners are getting stuck in a position where people might be defecating in their lawn or urinating in the alley by their house, which, I mean, obviously is not sanitary, but how can you blame the person needing to take that level of action when they have no other options?
I know. It's a necessity that we all have to do. And during this pandemic, it has gotten even more difficult, I can imagine.
Well, I am very, very proud on a step that's taken place recently that it just blows my mind. I'm so proud of the group of officials that have managed to put together this first step. One of the local encampments being one of the ones that I've been working with was actually given and provided a porta potty by our regional government. And I just want to make a very clear shout out and kudos to those individuals for making that effort. Mm-hmm. On the flip side, again, though, of course, I want to say, can we get about 20 more of those at least? Because there's a lot of other people who need them. And how fast can we get them? And how fast can we get them out to locations that would be usable by these individuals to relieve that strain of our community?
It's really difficult to imagine the amount of people that must be out there without a safe place to sleep, first of all. And I mean, if you don't have a home, you may not have an accessible bathroom to yourself. So I know that last time I talked to you, you said you were not really sure. We don't really know how many people are out on the streets or without a home or a safe space to be at during the night. It seems like it's been more people in the recent years.
I think, well, I have gotten a little bit better of an idea of what we're looking at numbers-wise, to the best of my knowledge at this moment, which, of course, I'm going off of, you know, bits and pieces, so it may not be perfectly accurate, but to my understanding, at this moment, we're likely dealing with about 500 people in this area who are still remaining unhoused, meaning who are currently still unsheltered. That might not be a perfect figure. I apologize if it's off in any way. I try not to put numbers out there unless I'm sure. This is closer to sure than I've been yet. That being said, though, I mean, we're looking at, what, maybe 2 months before we start getting cold weather that's going to have these people in a new form of risk. Yeah. And the reality is they've been in the situation that they're in right now for years, but even more strongly so since we hit COVID pandemic measures coming into play in March. I can't imagine how it is that just from March till now, we're still sitting in the same position for these people. And then now we're going to be looking at a change of season again. And I don't see us really absorbing that fact adequately. I mean, we need to be moving here. These people don't have time for us to be wasting on, no, having more meetings, having more conversations, doing things like that. These are our citizens as much as our taxpayers and our property holders are. Yes. These are also residents in our area, and we need to be taking stronger and quicker action on their behalf. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Do you see any movement as far as low-income housing, like any new low-income housing building taking place?
I mean, don't get me wrong. I do try my best to stay on top of what we have up and coming for affordable unit constructions and such. But with my focus being more so on those who are unsheltered, I couldn't give you the best rundown on that. I can say, though, that there is a lot of conversation about how it is we're going to be creating more affordable units in this area. Yeah. And how quickly we can do it. I am hoping that our original plans that we had pre-COVID can be expanded on and accelerated, because the numbers that we were looking at then, as much as they've been huge, it's changed. We don't have the time that we thought we did then. Not that we ever really had that time then. No. But even more so now under the additional strain of the global pandemic that we're experiencing.
Are you,
you know, I have some ideas for that, Yenny.
Do you? What are your ideas?
Well, my latest one that I've been tossing out, some of your listeners may be familiar with the encampment over at Vicori's, which is at the corner of Victoria and Lieber. I've had the pleasure of getting to know this group, and I've built a lot of faith in them. They're a great group of individuals who seem to operate very well together. It is in absolute gratitude that I find that we've been given a little more time to try to find suitable accommodations and placements for these individuals. But I'm worried because this group has been together for so long and they have developed such a family bond. I would like to see us try something new with this group. And what I'm hoping we could see happen here is kind of, I guess you could say, in its own roundabout way, a little bit of a 2.0 on Lot 42. Lot 42 and a Better Tent City, as it's officially known as, has been an awesome setup that we've pulled together really quickly when this pandemic hit. And I mean, it's been of benefit to many people who prior to that time were unsheltered. I'd love it to see us, and with us, I do mean our municipal reps, our agencies, and everybody, our community, all pulling together. I'd like to see us offer a piece of public land, meaning city property or regional property, where this encampment, when they need to move, can be relocated to temporarily in their same accommodations. But I'd also like to see us trying to see if we could get some more little smaller setups of tiny home groupings to accommodate our encampments while allowing them to maintain the social setup that they've made of their own family unit. I think it's immensely important to allow these individuals to maintain the reliability that they've grown themselves and the trust that they've built with the people that they're with. It's how they've kept themselves feeling safe and secure and provided for in the times that they've been experiencing the trauma of living on the street.
Right.
Taking that away, I can't see it being fair, and I'd hate to see us looking at a family unit of that type and suggesting that we can put a few people over here, a few people there, because we're separating their bonds. We'd be breaking them down, not building them up, when building them up is what we need to be doing.
I agree with you. It would be a very compassionate way of helping people. I mean, it's a self-made family, and a lot of families are self-made anyways, because, you know, we choose our partners and things like that, and we live together. So these people are, you know, sharing their lives together and supporting each other. So that makes sense. That would be an amazing way. There's lots of houses. And I mean, during this time, it's hard not to kind of think about the fact that the economy has sort of like been taking a bit of a pause. I know that people are really eager to get back on it and everything. But I mean, the fact is that it's hard to fathom that we're going to see as many, for example, international students come back, or as many students in general come back to this area. And I mean, all of KW has a huge amount of student housing. So if some of these houses are up for rent, and there is sort of a shortage of students, maybe that can be a gap that can be filled by, you know, other people that don't have a home.
Absolutely. I believe the term that I've heard used is rehabit.
Nice.
Or, like, I believe that's the term. If I'm off, I apologize. But meaning taking some of the current structures that may be available and redesigning them with minimal work process in there, but just kind of restructuring them a little bit to make it something that could be usable for another purpose, perhaps a family unit such as this encampment or another. I do think, though, that one of the problems that we're not recognizing in this regard is the willingness of the individual. A lot of the people that are unsheltered on our streets right now remain unsheltered because of the lack of trust in our systems.
Yeah.
The repeated trauma they've been to, I mean, I can only feel sensitive and that it's somewhat righteous in their own ways. We can't force someone to go to a shelter. And the reality is that as long as we continue thinking that we can go, here, this is what we've decided is good for you, go do it, we're not going to satisfy the need of all these individuals.
Mm-hmm.
By actually getting on the ground, speaking to them, getting to know their groups, finding out who they are as people and working with that, that is personally, the only way I feel that we're going to actually be able to resolve these issues in more depth than we've been doing already. A lot of the people that remain on the streets probably won't take up offers if they're too deeply ingrained with systemic processes. And I think it's time that we start looking at building and creating alternate ways that can encompass providing for the needs, but also providing for what they'd be willing to accept, because that is on us. We can't assume that our solution, what I would find good for me, would be good for you, right, Yenny?
Mm, yeah, for sure.
We'd have to ask me, we'd have to ask you, and at this point in time, we need to be getting out there and asking the people who are experiencing these difficulties.
Well, thank you for being such a strong voice for them, and I mean, it's as a resident of KW myself, it's nice to see and to know that, you know, there are people like you and groups like, you know, the anti-poverty groups that you're part of. And there's just so many groups I'm getting to know. And it's nice to know that there's an opposition to some of the development that's been happening that has been shuffling people aside over the last however many years.
Well, the other thing is, too, is right now, in terms of property usage for the concept that I'm looking at here, we know that we're going to have affordable developments coming up. I'm sure we have knowledge of locations where these would be, you know, intended to be implemented. But are we going to be breaking ground on them anytime soon? No. Then let's use those properties in the meantime to make sure that people can be welcomed and have a place that they can be. One of the big things that we have that we struggle in terms of obtaining account accurate nature for how many people still remain on the streets is that these people have to hide. We force them to have to go distantly and find a corner where nobody's going to see their tent or, you know, and they do that because otherwise they're going to get their tent broken down, they're going to get their things stolen, or they'll be told to move, and then where do they go next? if we give these people a place to be, I feel strongly it is the first step in welcoming them into our community and rebuilding the lack of faith and trust that our systems have had and these people have had with our systems. We can't expect people to just do a 180 and go, oh, okay, I haven't been comfortable coming to you yet, but of course now I will because, you know, you're offering me the same thing you did before. We have to sit there and come up with something new that could potentially be something more suitable to them, that they can find stability in, that they can find comfort in, and that they can feel empowered in. These people are humans. They have the right to be making their own choices just as much as any one of our citizens here in this country. Just because they're in the lower economic tier and experiencing trauma in terms of having no shelter, it doesn't sway from them having, you know, the same right to make a decision for themselves as you and I do. Mm-hmm. It just means that if they're not choosing one of the options that we're presenting, then we haven't found the right solution for this population, and that's on us, not them.
Thank you. It's really incredible hearing you speak like that. It's very empowering.
I hope so, and I really hope that we can see more progression. I mean, when I started on the City Committee for Housing, the volunteer position that I do in that, one thing that really excited me is that going into that, we had this gung-ho attitude, and this was pre-COVID, we had this gung-ho attitude of let's let this be the year that we end homelessness in this region and in our city. Thing is, we cannot change that just because of COVID. If anything, COVID has shown us how much we can do and how quickly we can do it. These people have a deadline. For the Fakoris encampment, we have until the end of August for them to be moved and relocated. That is a very imminent deadline that is going to have a deep impact and effect on this group of individuals' lives. On top of that, our full unsheltered population and those who remain without a place to be, they also have a deadline. It gives us a little bit more for theirs, but, I mean, winter is coming. Are we going to be letting people freeze in our streets? Or are we going to start getting up and saying, you know what, we can do this together. We can do this with all the tools that we've used and that we have in this community. We can do this in a way that maybe we can't make it completely be ended in our area, but we're definitely going to put a dent in it. I really hope that we're not deciding at this point in time that it's too late to manage that. And in fact, I'd like to see us tie up our boots and get moving.
So what can we do to help?
Well, I'm going to just stay with where I've been on that for the moment. I definitely will be making more calls for community support on any upcoming items needed. But in the meantime, most of the things that the public could do to assist at this moment can be found on my website at mymothernamesmesunshine.ca. There you'll be able to look into what the current things that I'm dealing with and looking into are. I have some updates to do soon, sorry. But also you'll be able to find where you can donate if you have the ability to make a financial contribution. We could use your funds right now to help support these individuals. It goes straight to their needs. Those contributions are accepted by Civic Hub, which the link and information can be found on my site. In addition to that, you can find items that if financial contribution isn't of ability to you, no problem. There's two other great ways you can help. If you have some of the items that we're looking for online, please feel free to donate them. Secondhand is fine, though we, of course, ask for gently used condition. And in addition to that, if neither of those are something that you can pitch in on, the best thing you can do to give us a hand is to get our word out. We're doing this grassroots, which means we need you to tell your friends and let them know what's going on, and that's how we get out there and we get us all drawn together in the same effort that we're putting forth here.
Thank you so much, Regan.
My absolute pleasure, Yenny.
I'm looking forward to staying in touch with you, and maybe we can, I don't know what the COVID says right now, but if I can maybe come with you guys and visit some people on site, maybe we can do interviews. And
I think that would be very welcomed. I think that one of the other big things that I hope I've stressed in here is that, of course, my voice, I'm putting it out there in strength for these people, but we need to be hearing it directly from them. They're the voice that matters. So by all means, if you'd like to come join me at the encampment, I'm pretty sure that the tenants there would welcome you, and just let me know when.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much, Regan. Sounds good.
Excellent. We'll talk soon. Take care, Ian.
You too. Bye. All righty then. So we were sharing via my mother named me, sunshine.ca. You can see the current unsheltered needs list and the updates there. Thanks for listening to Blue Sky Horse Radio. I'm Yenny. Today is 1st of August. I hope you guys are doing great out there. Ladies and gents, we're going to end the Facebook Live here with CKMS 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo.